Tango Tango Papa 2039, July 14, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening. Well, actually, I guess it's evening, I guess. It's late afternoon from Tomsbrook, Virginia. That's not going to work. I got wind. I don't know if the air was blowing on that. I don't know if it was picking it up on the microphone or not. So I moved it now, so it should be good. So, it's been a good couple of weeks since the last podcast. I'm trying to remember if I think I had come back to work, if I remember correctly. Can't remember. I believe that's what I did. But in any case, I've been at work now for a while, and so I'm due home by the 19th. Today is the 14th, so I could either get home on the 19th, or I may end up getting home a couple of days early, because the load that I'm going to be picking up tomorrow at here in Virginia, Winchester, Virginia, that load delivers to on the 17th, anytime on the 17th, to Harrisonville, Missouri. And so Harrisonville really isn't that far from home. They've deadheaded me that far before, so unless they have some other load, then I'd say it's about a 50-50 chance that I'll be going home a couple of days early. But as I say, that's fine. So I've got a couple of appointments set up. I've got a dental appointment set up, a cleaning appointment. And I ended up, I don't think I've mentioned it, about, I guess, last summer when I was, I mow my lawn every time I go home with the riding lawnmower. And so it was last summer, it's kind of stupid. I had a hold of the lawnmower steering wheel with my right arm, and it was fairly, turned out it was in a position where it was fairly rigid, straight, my arm out, on the top of the mower, the riding mower steering wheel. And I ended up getting a little bit too close to a tree with the, the side of the mower. And it ran, ran into it, and I ended up, jolting myself. And because my arm at that point happened to be in a rigid position, it kind of made my shoulder, I don't know if I, kind of bruised a rotator cuff or what happened, but that was sore for a while, and then it seemed to get better. But then recently it's just seemed to get worse, and so I have decided, probably be a good idea. I'm not going to go to a doctor with it, because they'll probably send me to a physical therapist. So I figured out that I could just make an appointment with a physical therapist all on my own. You don't need a doctor referral, at least in Arkansas you don't. I think they changed that sometime in the 1990s. They dropped the requirement that you would have to have a doctor's referral. So you can just make an appointment yourself, and so that's what I did. And so I on one day when I'm home, I have the dental cleaning appointment, and then on the next day, the following day, I end up, I was able to get the physical therapist appointment. So, and I'll have to pay for that out of my pocket, because I think she looked it up, and she said I hadn't, of course, I I never meet my deductible. So I just pay for it out of my pocket and be done with it. So I've watched some videos on YouTube, and they give you, examples of exercises or whatever. And I've tried those, and it didn't really made any difference or not. So probably better go to a regular physical therapist and, see what they can do. So they're going to tell me what exercises to do. And I know from one of my youngest brother had damaged his rotator cuff, it's been quite a few years ago. And they were having him do, these little kind of exercises with a giant rubber band type thing. So probably end up with something like that. And I don't have the giant rubber band. So if that's one thing I'd have to get from a physical therapist, probably order one off Amazon, but I'll just go to a real physical therapist as opposed to watching the YouTube videos and see if it makes any difference. So that's got, I've got that kind of on the agenda as well. Otherwise, I've been, just kind of staying pretty busy, with my job. Just kind of, it's just kind of the same old all the time. Which, that's actually good. I don't want any drama. Don't like drama. So I like things to be, to remain pretty consistent, and so I'm just about as busy as possible. Recently I was out in Phoenix, and then I had a load that went all the way from Phoenix up to Canton, Maine, which is that's suburban Boston, or Massachusetts rather, suburban Boston. And then went to Gloucester to pick up a load, and then I delivered that today at Manassas, Virginia, which is outside of Washington, is kind of a suburb of Washington, D.C. area. And so then now I'm at Tomsbrook, Virginia, and I'm gonna hanging out here, and I pick a load up tomorrow. The load up tomorrow at Winchester, Virginia, that goes to Harrisonville, Missouri. So I'm just kind of hanging. I was able to get here to this. There's two truck stops here at Tomsbrook. There's a Love's, and then across the street there's a Pilot, and so I came into the Pilot, and it was about 3:30 in the afternoon, and so I went ahead and parked. When I get up in the morning, I will. There's also a truck wash here that's supposed to open at 7:30. I'll go ahead and get the trailer washed out, fill the trailer up with fuel, and then go on up to Winchester, which is about 20 miles from here, 20 miles north on Interstate 81, and see if I can't, hopefully the load, it'll be a drop and hook, hopefully it'll be ready, and then I can start making my way towards Harrisonville, Missouri. So, I have a friend that lives in Virginia, and yesterday I was actually able to see him, and it's been several years, and I talk to him on the phone all the time, but it's been several years since I've actually saw him in person. And I hate to say it, but I was a little bit surprised, because he had in the several intervening years, it's probably been about 5 or 6 years since the last time I saw him, he's gained some fairly serious weight around the middle, and this guy, you can't accuse him of not being active. He's got a bicycle, and he's riding that thing all the time, like miles and miles and miles. So he's getting plenty of exercise, but yet, you know, he's gained quite a bit of weight. I don't know what his weight is, but it's, I'm guessing, probably upwards of 250 would be my guess. You know, and he's probably about the same height I am, you know, so he's probably about 5'10 or something like that. And yet, you know, he's kind of putting on the pounds, you know. So, you know, because I don't remember, he might have been a little bit overweight the last time I actually saw him in person, but he's definitely put on some weight. And, you know, I've come to the conclusion at this point, it's, you know, forget about the calories. The calories really are irrelevant. People worry about calories and, you know, all, you know, it's just a bunch of nonsense. Because what it really comes down to is the types of food that you're eating. And if you're eating, you know, a bunch of carbohydrates with whatever else, but especially processed carbohydrates, you're probably going to end up putting on weight, unless you're like my youngest brother. My youngest brother can eat anything and never seems to put on, you know, very much weight. You know, at most maybe he puts on like 5 pounds and you can't even tell. But most people can't get away with that. Most people eating the processed carbohydrates are going to end up with weight gain. And it's a progressive thing. You know, since I've been on this diet, and I may have mentioned this before, you know, so you cut out the carbohydrates, so no potatoes, pasta, rice, or bread. And of course, no desserts or cakes, cookies, candies, nothing like that. But I'm eating a lot of the other stuff. Eating plenty of vegetables, eating lots of salad, eating plenty of steak, chicken, those kind of meats, plenty of eggs. Make sure that I'm getting a fair percentage of fats. And, you know, as opposed to just strictly protein and vegetables or whatever, you got to make sure you're getting plenty of fat. So I am, and the interesting thing is I'm eating just as much as I ever have been, but I'm not gaining weight. And in fact, I don't know, when I was home the last time, I weighed, and it was 160.2 is what my scale said. And so my weight seems to be kind of hovering right around 160, which that's fine. If 5'10", 160, body mass index is considered normal. So, but I'm eating as much as I want. And in fact, sometimes I end up kind of stuffing myself. And I'm still not gaining any weight. Whereas before, there was always this thing in the back of my mind, you know, I've got to watch, I'm eating too much. I've got to watch what I'm eating too much. You know, and you have this little kind of a creeping weight gain thing that goes on in many cases. So I've gotten, you know, to where I'm watching people, and I see a lot of overweight people. I mean, it's just, you know, most, I'd say at least half of the people that I see are overweight. Now, of course, I'm looking at lots of truck drivers, and people say, oh, well, truck drivers don't get enough exercise. It's not about the exercise. You know, like I say, this guy is, this friend of mine is riding, you know, his bicycle ridiculous. Sometimes I think he, you know, like 25 miles at a time. You know, it's just really astounding. And yet here he is with all this fat, particularly around the middle. but it really is about what you're eating, as opposed to you're eating too much or you're not getting enough exercise. I don't get any exercise. The only exercise I'm getting is, and have been for years, the only exercise I get is maybe walking from the truck stop into the, you know, from the truck into the truck stop and back. That's not much exercise. I would like to walk more if I could. I enjoy walking, but I just really have no opportunity to do it, and it's too damn dangerous to be trying to do that. To try to walk in a truck stop parking lot is, you know, to take your own life into your own hands, because you can get run over. It happens. So I would, if you don't believe me, go to Google and type in truck driver got run over by in truck stop parking lot, and you're probably going to find a bunch of stories. I'm not getting any exercise. And yet here I am, my weight is remaining consistent now, and I'm eating as much as I want. I'm just avoiding pasta, potatoes, rice, and bread. Now, I will admit that it's more expensive. You know, the carbohydrates are cheaper, the processed carbohydrates. If you order things with meals with lots of processed carbohydrates, they're going to be cheaper. Whereas if you order you drop the processed carbohydrates, drop those out, and only eat things either with protein or fat or vegetables, and you eat enough of it, it's going to be your meal, especially eating out, is going to be more expensive. Of course, I'm eating out all the time. I could probably, if I were eating at home and leaving out the processed carbohydrates, it wouldn't be as expensive as it is to, you know, kind of drop the carbohydrates that are in restaurants. You know, so it is more expensive, but it's well worth. The benefits are well worth it for me, you know, the trade-off. I would rather spend a little bit more money and drop the processed carbohydrates and have a consistent weight. And of course, I have the main benefit, no more acid reflux. Even if I eat a lot, you know, where I feel kind of bloated, or, you know, not really bloated, but stuffed, that stuffed feeling, no acid reflux whatsoever. But, it really is a tragedy. All these people walk, you know, they're just eating the wrong things, and they know they're overweight. You know, everybody that's overweight knows it. You know, you don't have to point it out to them. They know it. How well they do know it. And yet, you know, they're like I was, thinking, well, I can't control, you know, I'm eating too much or whatever. No, you're eating the wrong things. Cut out the pasta, potatoes, rice, and bread, and all the snacks, or, you know, the sugary, sweet, whatever. Get rid of all of that. And stick with it, and I'm probably going to end up seeing some results. But, you know, and then there's this concept, well, I'm going to have a cheat day. No, I'm not. I don't cheat. You know, who am I cheating? I'm cheating. If I were to cheat, I'd be cheating myself. That's absurd. So, you know, I'm not going to be eating any bread or any potato chips or any pasta. course, that's the one thing that I just have always really loved was pasta. But, hey, I can do without it. It's not the end of the world. I'm not even tempted. I'm really not. Same way with the desserts. I'm not tempted whatsoever. But that really is the cause of all of this obesity, is that people are eating the wrong things because they think it's healthy, because they've been brainwashed into thinking, you know, that the fat's bad for you. You'd better, you know, you want to eat, quote unquote, eat healthy, you know, eat this healthy yogurt or eat this healthy granola or whatever. And in the meantime, you might as well just be, just buy a 5-pound bag of sugar and just start eating it directly. You know, and it ends up having in many people it ends up having terrible health impacts. But it's really what people are eating as opposed to how much. So, but I don't know. I think people will have to come to that conclusion on their own. And so in the meantime, I do tell people if I feel, I'll tell waitresses quite a few times why I'm that I'm not really, I hate to be so picky about what I'm ordering, but that I'm not eating, I've cut out the pasta, potatoes, rice, and bread, and, sometimes they don't want to hear about it. You can kind of tell they don't want to hear about it, and then other times they're really interested. But I do tell people about it just kind of casually mention it, and if they seem interested, then I'll talk further about it. But otherwise, like my friend that I met yesterday, when I met him yesterday, he came and picked me up at the truck stop, and then we went to this diner that was near the truck stop. It wasn't in the truck stop, but it was nearby. And, so I ordered a steak and a salad. It came with salad and some vegetables, and which was, quite filling for me. And then he ordered, like a shrimp, that was over, like pasta, some kind of pasta, great big bowl of pasta with shrimp on top. Like a pasta, like a shrimp primavera, whatever. And he ate most of the pasta. He didn't eat quite all of it. And then afterwards he decided, he was going to have dessert. So he got a milkshake. I told him, go ahead and eat whatever you want to. I'm not going to preach at people. I've talked to him on the phone a lot, so he's aware of, he was already aware of me being on this diet several months ago, and it's pretty obvious I'm sticking with it, and, so I don't preach at people. If they want to eat their carbohydrates and, go for it, but, I really am convinced that it's what people are eating is why they're so fat and gaining. So, anyway, I've got a voice file from Joel, and I listened to the very first part of it, and he's bringing up the topic of hate crimes. And, that's really kind of along the lines of thought crimes, which is, the whole concept of that is utterly ridiculous. Why would people argue over what you, what they think, you know, and that's generally what people do. You know, there's a myth that goes around that people, you know, that wars are sort of caused by, you know, haves and have-nots and, you know, that kind of thing. But a lot of war is driven by ideology, you know, and you have these, you know, the kind of the thing I've talked about in the past, the sort of ideological possession type thing that goes on. But why would people argue over, you know, what they think? You know, or the whole thought, you know, the whole idea you're going to have a thought crime or a hate crime is ridiculous. You know, if someone commits a murder, you know, and then they say, well, it's a hate crime on top of the murder. Well, poop-de-doo, the person's still dead. You know, how could it be any worse? Who knows what they're, you can't quantify what someone is feeling. But I think the whole thing revolves around people want you to, you know, they're looking for approval. They want to put their conscience at bay, you know, and so then, you know, then they try to use the power of other people's approval to kind of help them believe that wrong is right and right is wrong and kill their conscience. So that's really, I think, at the root of the whole idea of hate crimes. You know, the whole concept is ridiculous. You know, it should be, crime should be based strictly on behavior. You know, because who cares what you say you believe or you don't believe or you hate or you don't hate. You know, at the end of the day, it's about your behavior. If you've you listen to Jordan Peterson, you know, he likes to say that, you know, people ask him if he believes in God, and he does, he says, you know, how he behaves as if he does, as opposed, he won't say that he believes in God, but he behaves as if there is a God. And that's really the way you can tell what people actually believe is by looking at their behavior, as opposed to what they say they believe, because oftentimes what they say they believe certainly does not match their actual behavior. That's, you know, that's pretty prevalent, that mismatch. So you really have to look at what people, you know, what, how do people behave? You know, and how they behave really reveals what their actual belief structure is. So anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and start playing Joel's comment. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Hope this finds you well. I know it's been a while since you had a show. I just saw something that kind of be interesting to talk about. And that's the term hate crime. Just, you know, because sometimes on some of the stuff is unavoidable on social media. But it's just flipping through it. And that, I do this mostly because that's really how I won't say that's only how I get my news, you know, because I don't really watch most of the mainstream media. But, some of the stuff, it's just one of those things that's kind of hard to avoid. And I'm talking about the case of the World Cup soccer player on a woman's side, Megan Rapinoe. She's the one that, that when asked if she was, if they were, and this is, you know, I don't remember in the past up until when Trump got in office, when it got to be a question that they would ask certain athletes, especially if they were the intersectional type, you know, either the minority, you know, black person or gay, transgendered, whatever. Okay. But when that got to be a question, when they would ask them, you know, would they go to the White House if invited? You know, all of a sudden that whenever kind of a sporting event happens, that happens. You know, whenever. Somehow got to be a question. I don't know why, but that's the truth.
Okay, well, let me interrupt. I can tell you why the news media is doing that. It's because they're trying to corral all of the entertainers. You know, and you can put those, you know, the women's soccer, whatever, you can put that into the entertainment category. Or, you know, anyone traditionally would sort of look up to or basically worship, because that's what people do. You know, that's one of the ways, you know, you spend whatever your time. One of the definitions of worship is, you know, whatever you give your attention to. And so traditionally, a lot of people do give a lot of their attention to sports, whether it's professional sports or so-called amateur sports, college sports. So they're trying, the news media, it's a concerted effort to try to corral these people all into the same camp so that they all, you know, orange man bad, we hate Trump, and they've got to mouth all of the social justice warrior stuff or else they're going to be crucified, certainly online and maybe even physically attacked if they, you know, if they dare split from the mob. You know, it's a Twitter mob or whatever, online mob. So that's what's going on. That's why they're asked these questions by the main so-called mainstream media. So the best thing to do, I don't watch it. You know, I run into it occasionally in a truck stop. I'll, you know, they'll have a television on and I'll end up kind of... especially if it's in front of me and I end up kind of seeing it. But otherwise, you know, I still know all the stuff that's going on. And I, you know, I'm primarily getting it either through reading headlines or, and there are some videos that I watch on YouTube as well. You know, I know all of the stuff that's going on, but a lot of the just the absolute garbage that is on, you know, on regular television nowadays, or, you know, now is just, it's ridiculous. You know, we don't, if you have sewage, you know, think of it this way. If you've got a pile of dog poop, you know, I don't know if you have a dog or a cat or some sort of a pet. Or let's say you have a cow, you know, that produces a big cow patty. Do you go around walking in it and you touching it and kind of smearing it around, getting it on your hands? Of course not. Not if you got any sense. Now, there are people that do that. But, you know, this is, you know, I'm just using it as an analogy. You know, if you have something that you know is bad, you know, when you wipe your own rear end, you know, you're careful not to get it on you. And if you do get some on you, what do? You immediately wash your hands. Because you know the stuff is bad. And yet, somehow we end up watching these people, you know, spew out their venom on, you know, in the media or online, and somehow, you know, we watch it and get all outraged or whatever, which is the wrong thing to do, because then you end up becoming what you hate. When you become upset with something, you end up becoming what you hate. So what you resent. So the best thing to do is turn it off. Just completely turn it off. These people are, many of them should be in insane asylums. You know, they really should be. Many of them have gone completely over the edge. You know, and then these so-called journalists are just useful idiots. So the best thing to do, you know, if you want to protect the integrity of your body, you don't touch the poop. You know, and if you do, you wash your hands. You know, and if you want to protect the integrity of your mind, you don't sort of fill it with poop, and that's basically what it is. But that's why they're doing it. They're trying to corral all of these people so that they all, you know, they all have to say that they think alike and say the right things, and then, especially if they're going to go to the White House, then that way they can prevent them. They want to keep everybody in the same tight reservation so that there's nobody left to look up to. You know, for the people that are sort of doing the sports worship. So that's really what it's about. That's why they're asking the questions. And of course, it's an opportunity, you know, from the news media standpoint. It's another opportunity to push the talking point. Instead of asking them about sports or whatever, they're going to ask them, well, you know, what do you think about such and such? You know, and make them talk about the social justice crap. You know, so that's, and I did see a clip of that one woman, she looked like she belongs in a mental institution, the clip that I saw.
So, and she said F now, you know, and all this stuff comes out, you know, before even there was any sort of invitation. In fact, if anything, I personally kind of hope that this kind of ends that kind of activity, because why I understand why presidents did it, you know, but why was it seen such a big deal and all this stuff? I don't understand that. But anyway, and then to go further, this person, Megan Rapinoe, they had their celebration in New York on live TV. And of course, she drops an F-bomb. You know, everyone else, she's so great and all this stuff. And you know, look what diversity what adversity they have fought. Even though every single year the women, you know, every time the World Cup comes around for the women, they basically walk the field. You know. Anyway. Such adversity. And then to follow that up, they had posters apparently all around New York, and they were defaced. Kind of rightly so, because this person really hasn't been all that respectful of anybody, to be honest. And now they're investigating that as a hate crime. Hate crime. So now I finally get to that. You know, so to me, the term hate crime attempts to make illegal acts illegaler. All right. But here, in my opinion here, you know, say somebody kills you or kills somebody you know, and they, you know, does the murderer hate you?
Of course
they do. So what changes when it becomes a minority? Why should somebody who kills a minority, you know, first off, killing someone carries a pretty hefty sentence, depending on the state, depending on where it actually happens. You know, that person could face a death penalty. Even if they don't face the death penalty, they're going to spend their life in prison for murder, right? I know it's not the same when you deface a poster, but technically, does the person who defaces that poster hate the poster or hate the person that's on the poster? Sure. But what does punishing a person who commits a crime more because a person's a minority? It basically gives minorities more rights than the majority. More rights than white men and women. More rights than white men, for sure. And to me, I cannot see how that's fair. You know, why is that fair? It's not. It's basically doing the same thing racists would do to minorities. The same thing somebody who hates gay people, someone who's quote-unquote homophobic, if that homophobic person would have done that to a gay person, you know. Or, I'm sorry, if I messed that one up, but I mean, you know, it's the same thing as if someone who's a part of the majority, white cis male, did that to a homosexual. Our legal system should be about what's fair, not just to minorities, but to all. And I know the minorities don't see it that way, but I do. I mean, you know, and that's the only fair way society can be, is if we treat everyone the same. If we actually treat everyone the same, yes, sometimes a minority is going to be a victim. And that's just how it is. That's life. That's the way it should be. You know, and sometimes someone who is, say, a cis white male kills someone who is a homosexual, sometimes they're just killing that person just because they hate that person, not what they are. Which means, you know, is that fair to the person that gets killed? No. But does that mean that the murderer actually hates what that person is? No. They hate the person, but they don't necessarily hate what they are. You know, and that's why I'm just not a fan of hate crime laws. Just the same as I'm not a fan of hate speech laws. Hate speech laws. You know, the only way to counter speech that you hate is with more speech. That's the only right way to do it. Because one person's hate speech is another person's speech. So, I mean, I'm sure that the British government wouldn't want to punish people that did what our country did to them. Thankfully, they didn't, other than going to war with us. You know, but it just boggles my mind that we're going there now. Yeah, and you got a person who is making millions of dollars and saying, "Oh, she's so oppressed." Right. Anyway, talk to you later.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. So, you know, the our whole society, or about half of it, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say, but I would say about, maybe not even half, but a good chunk of the society has gone mad, maybe a third of it. Because it's really, you know, you know, if you deal with people, you know, in face to face, you're going to be, you know, unless you go into a city, you know, and you've got these people on street corners or whatever, or if you go to someplace like, you know, San Francisco or some other cities, that you know, where they, you know, you got people defecating on the streets and take, you know, and just drugged out of their minds, etc., etc. Generally speaking, in the real world, if you deal with people face to face, they're pretty nice, and you're never, you know, you just don't run into problems. You know, that's not the, you know, the, what goes on in the real world is not what goes on, you know, this whole thing with what's in the media and online is that, and even a good chunk of that is, you know, people are pretty nice, depending on, you know, the types of things online that you're looking at. I'd say the majority of people seem pretty nice, at least the ones that I'm, you know, kind of looking at. But, the thing with online, it's sort of like a CB, you know, you remember the CB radio, and I don't know if you were around during the CB radio craze, you know, you'd, but people with CB radios, you know, it got to where people, you know, they would just try to put each other down as much as they could in many cases. And, you know, so the thing, you have these online forums and what have you, and you end up with the same sort of phenomenon, you know, where people say, you know, really bad, you know, mean things or whatever that they wouldn't if you were standing next to them in the checkout line at Walmart. They'd probably be nice people, but there is a quantity of people that have gone crazy, you know, and or they were already, you know, I'll say it this way, they were already, you know, kind of crazy, but they can't take Trump out. They've tried. They've thrown everything they can at him. The Democrat Party, the media, they've thrown every possible thing that they can to take him out, and they can't take him out. And he wins every time, and it drives them insane, or more insane than they already were. You know, so they, the media, you know, they have this idea that they're going to re-engineer, they're going to engineer you to think the way they want you to. You know, you, that one of the concepts is above and below. So a politician would maybe, you know, get some, pay some organization, let's say Black Lives Matter, somebody would pay Black Lives Matter to stage a demonstration. And then the news media covers it, and then the politician or whoever, you know, was running the show would use that as evidence that, well, maybe we need to listen to these people, or we need to make changes to our society because these people are protesting. Well, they paid the people to protest. It's like the, you know, this phony dossier thing. the our spy agencies were using, they had various means that they were using to launder the information. They were the ones that came up with the information to start with that was in that phony Steele dossier. And so they used a couple of different people or lines of people in order to launder the information so that it looked like it was two different sources. So that then they could use it in that, you know, to get the FISA warrants. And it was all fake. It was all a setup job. And one of the ways that that works, you know, in the news media is that you get upset. You know, and they want you getting upset, and you can't take them seriously. They're not serious. They don't care about fairness. These people just want their way. And there's been so many, you know, the reason we're seeing so much of it, and probably the reason we're seeing people, you know, show up in the streets of San Francisco and other places defecating, is because a good chunk of the people that raised kids didn't, you know, the kids have failed to mature. You know, it started with the parents and it was egged on by the school system. So they haven't matured. You know, and they want their way. So it's, I don't know. You know, the only thing you can do is, you know, turn them off. Don't give them any of your money or your attention, because your attention is just as important as whatever money you might give them. Don't give them any. Don't give them the attention that they're looking for. And if it's a so-called sports figure, shut the crap off. You know, stop. Stop paying attention to it. You know, I like to take it back down to, you know, I've got some crazy relatives. A couple of, you know, one of them in particular, I have nothing to do with him. Years go by and I don't even see him. And he's a problem. Once in a while I'll hear some other relative griping about what he did or what he said. I don't want to hear it. I would just, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't exist. So, you know, we've got a bunch of people that are, you know, millions of people, possibly, that have failed to mature. There's millions of them. You know, I don't know how society recovers from that. You know, because it's a real tragedy what's happened to people. You know, that they had such poor parenting. Some of them can possibly survive, but there's a bunch of them that are basically write-offs, and I don't know what you do with those people. But, you know, if you have someone that's immature, the last thing you do is take them seriously. You know, if you have a two-year-old kid, you don't negotiate with the two-year-old kid. You tell him what is it, you know, what's what, how it's going to be. And that's that. You don't negotiate with them. You know, and if you got, you know, a supposed adult that's got the emotional maturity level of a two-year-old, same thing applies. You don't negotiate with them, you don't take them seriously. You know, don't give them the time of day. In other words, don't give them your attention. You know, and they can whine and moan and groan and stomp their feet or whatever, and that's, who cares? So, but I don't know what the solution to that is, other than I don't get upset with the people. You know, that I'm living my life. My existence is really good, and if some people want to have their minds in the sewer, that's basically where they're at. Their minds are in the sewer, and you know, that's their problem, not mine. It really isn't mine. I really do not care, because I don't have to care. And the reason I don't have to care is because I really don't get upset with this stuff. And that really is the solution to it. You know, at this point, I'm not on Facebook very much. I'll post little pictures here and there. And I still have, once in a while, I still have people that are trying to, you know, to get me to argue with them. You know, and I won't argue with them anymore. I'm done with that. Because it doesn't do any good. You know, so the best thing to do, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is, you know, pick your friends and maybe even your, you know, if you've got a bad relative, you know, don't, you know, you can forget about them. But otherwise, you pick your friends and, you know, and the, you know, the other ones, are, you know, you don't have anything to do with them, or I don't. I'd rather just assume that they don't even exist. You know, and so fortunately, you know, the news media, you know, especially like CNN and all that, MSNBC, their viewership is continuing to plummet. And rightly so. You know, in the same way, I don't know, I think the same thing is true with like ESPN. I think a lot of people have just shut it off. And that's actually a good thing. That people have, you know, completely turned it off, and you know, get your mind out of the sports thing. Because really, at the end of the day, what you give your attention to is what you worship. You know, and all of this sports worship stuff was never healthy. To the degree that it went, it was not healthy. You go back. Even, you know, let's say you go back 30, 40, 50 years and people were still doing, you know, they had all the sports worship stuff going on. That was not healthy. And the evidence of it is because, you know, that they didn't raise their kids right. And it was started really in the 50s. The 40s and the 50s was where all of this really got a foothold. You know, the evidence that they weren't raising their kids right was the 1960s. And it's just gotten worse. It's gotten worse since then. It's gotten worse and worse and worse with each successive generation. At least in part. But we, you know, it's hard to say. Because, you know, there are people that raised their kids, you know, right, and the kids ended up maturing and being functional adults, and they're raising their own kids properly. But the news media has tried to deliberately create this narrative, you know, kind of a false narrative that the whole country is just insane, and you might as well give up. You're a minority. You can't be normal. You might as well just give up and be insane too. And that's, they're trying to wear everybody down. So that, as I say, the best thing to do is to, you know, if you've got dog poop, a pile of dog poop somewhere, you know, certainly you either, if it's in your house, you clean it up and get rid of it, or if it's outside, you clean it up and get rid of it, or if it's just outside and you're out walking somewhere, watch where the heck you're stepping and don't step in it. And certainly you're not going to interact with it. You know, and yet why would you allow the equivalent of dog poop, mental dog poop, into your mind? You know, so. So anyway, one other thing I wanted to mention, the robot vacuum cleaners have been around for about 15 years now, and it's a long time since, you know, the original Roomba came out, and they've continued to improve in the meantime. And so I ended up ordering it's a Roomba S, it's called an S9 Plus, no relation to the Galaxy S9. It's a Roomba S9 Plus, and the plus meaning that it's got the nifty little, the base that actually automatically empties the Roomba itself. So once I make it home, then I'll set that thing up. So have fun kind of setting that up. So, but I wanted to mention that. So I may, you know, I probably make a video about it and put it up on YouTube once I get the thing operating. So anyhow, hope everyone is having a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.